Today I have 21 words that can change your life. This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us that we and God together cannot handle. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, you can take a deep sigh right now. You can relax. You can quit feeling like you have the responsibility of taking care of the entire world on your shoulders. In fact, as we begin this year, I want to say to you that every Monday during this year, I'm going to devote to the topic of worry. Why worry? Because there's a lot of chronic worriers out there. And the way the media presents so much of the bad news constantly, as I like to say, if you have cable TV 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you can get bad news. It's taking a toll on all of us. So since Monday is the transitional day, very often, whether it's work, school, more doctor's appointments, business appointments, taking care of lots of responsibilities you don't usually take care of during the week, I think it would be good to consider how to handle worry. Because if you don't know how to fight worry, you're going to die young. So let's begin with a little litany that I say just about every day. Come Holy Spirit, replace the tension within me with a holy relaxation. Replace the turbulence within me with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within me with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear within me with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within me with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness within me with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within me with a loving warmth. Replace the night within me with your day. Replace the winter within me with your spring. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, you know there's a danger when somebody says, well, just don't worry, that other people are going to say, well, that's easy for you to say. So I'm not going to say that so much as share stories with you, real-life stories of people who had to deal with worry and the way they overcame worry. These are ordinary people, and if they can do it, we all can do it. So here's the first story I want to share with you. In the spring of 1871, a young man picked up a book and read 21 words that had a profound effect on his future. A medical student at the Montreal General Hospital, he was worried about passing the final examination, worried about what to do, where to go, how to build up a practice, how to make a living. The 21 words that this young medical student read in 1871 helped him become the most famous physician of his generation. He organized the world-famous John Hopkins School of Medicine. He became the Regius Professor of Medicine at Oxford, the highest honor that can be bestowed upon any medical man in the British Empire. He was knighted by the King of England. When he died, two huge volumes containing 1,466 pages were required to tell the story of his life. His name was Sir William Osler. Here are the 21 words that he read in the spring of 1871, 21 words from Thomas Carlyle that helped him lead a life free from worry. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. Let me repeat those 21 words. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. 42 years later, on a soft spring night, when the tulips were blooming on the campus, this man, Sir William Osler, addressed the students of Yale University. He told those Yale students that a man like himself, who had been a professor in four universities and had written a popular book, was supposed to have brains of a special quality. He declared that that was not true. He said that his intimate friends knew that his brains were of the most mediocre character. What then was the secret of his success? He stated that it was owing to what he called living in a day tight compartments. What did he mean by that? A few months before he spoke at Yale, Sir William Osler had crossed the Atlantic on a great ocean liner where the captain, standing on the bridge, could press a button, and presto, there was a clanging of machinery, and various parts of the ship were immediately shut off from one another, shut off into watertight compartments. "Now, each one of you," Dr. Osler said to those Yale students, "is a much more marvelous organization than the great liner and bound on a longer voyage. What I urge is that you so learn to control the machinery as to live with day-tight compartments as the most certain way to ensure safety on the voyage. Get on the bridge and see that at least the great bulkheads are in working order. Touch a button in here as every level of your life, the iron door shutting on the past, the dead yesterdays. Touch another and shut off with the metal curtain the future, the unborn tomorrows. Then you are safe, safe for today. Shut off the past, let the dead past bury its dead. Shut out the yesterdays which have lighted fools the way to dusty death. The load of tomorrow, added to that of yesterday, carried today, makes the strongest person falter. Shut off the future as tightly as the past. The future is today. There is no tomorrow. The day of man's salvation is now. Waste of energy, mental distress, nervous worries dog the steps of a man who is anxious about the future. Shut close, then, the great fore and aft bulkheads and prepare to cultivate the habit of a life of day tight compartments." Did Dr. Osler mean to say that we should not make any effort to prepare for tomorrow? No, not at all. But he did go on in that address to say that the best possible way to prepare for tomorrow is to concentrate with all your intelligence, all your enthusiasm on doing today's work superbly today. That is the only possible way you can prepare for the future. So Sir William Osler urged the students at Yale to begin the day with Christ's prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Remember, that prayer asks only for today's bread. It doesn't complain about the stale bread we had to eat yesterday. And it doesn't say, "Oh God, it has been pretty dry out in the wheat belt lately, and we may have another drought, and then how will I get bread to eat next fall? Or suppose I lose my job, oh God, how could I get bread then?" No, this prayer teaches us to ask for today's bread only. Today's bread is the only kind of bread you can possibly eat. Years ago, a penniless philosopher was wandering through a stony country where the people had a hard time making a living. One day a crowd gathered about him on a hill, and he gave what is probably the most quoted speech ever delivered anywhere at any time. This speech contains 26 words that have gone ringing down across the centuries. Here's the 26 words. "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Well, that's an old translation. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough concerns of its own. Who was that wandering, penniless philosopher? Jesus, of course. And if you're a Christian, if you're really genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will learn the most important lesson that people can learn: living one day at a time, accepting daily bread, letting go of the past and not fretting about the future. That's the principle of living stress-free lives. If you're going to let worry consume you, it's because your worrying about the past or agonizing about the future is just slowly taking over your life. Don't let that happen. And that's why we're going to really emphasize this year, every Monday, how to deal with worry and anxiety and dread. Okay? Okay. Now, here's today's food for thought. When we have accepted the worst, we have nothing more to lose, and that automatically means we have everything to gain. Dale Carnegie said that, the man who wrote so often about positive thinking. I'll often quote from his book about worry on these Mondays that I devote to worry. He said again, when we have accepted the worst, we have nothing more to lose, and that automatically means we have everything to gain. Okay, our prayer partners. Today I want you to pray for oncologists. They are the doctors who deal with people who have cancer. Cancer is such a frightening thing. As soon as some people hear the C word, they go to pieces. And yet we've made great progress in fighting cancer and letting people live long lives even though they have contracted cancer. But we want to ask God to give oncologists today special strength. Let them have hope in their life. Let them be able to deal with each patient with individual attention, with compassion, with the caring that the people need as they struggle with cancer. Dear God, we ask you to bless all oncologists. Help them have keen ability to recognize the cancer as fast as possible and to come up with a treatment that will benefit their patients. Well, now I'm at that point in the program where I attempt to make you smile or laugh. All this week long, I'm going to tell you jokes about Adam and Eve. Okay? So, here's the first one. Somebody was once asked the question, what nationality were Adam and Eve? Another person answered, well, they were probably Soviet citizens. Why do you say that? Said the first person. The second person said, because, think about it. They had nothing to wear. They only had an apple to eat. But we're told they were living in paradise. And that's exactly what the communists tried to tell the Soviet citizens, how wonderful their life was under communism. Well, would you like to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Love to hear from you. You can let me know if you have any prayer intentions that you'd like me to take to prayer. And some of you have been sending me your prayer intentions and on the internet, and I do respond, and I do pray with and for you. So send me your prayer intentions. Let me know what you think of the program. I love to hear from my listeners. I'd enjoy hearing from you. If you would like to help me keep my hospital for the very poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico, you can send me a check. TASH, Tash Inc. is how you make the check out, and you send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. My website address is fatherscott.com, spell out Father. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, love.